you'd like to follow along in the reading of the Word this morning, if you would turn to John chapter 16. I'm just going to read three verses, verses 13 through 15. We're going to be focusing, we're going to be focusing on verses 14 and 15. I don't want to do that. I want to mess up the guys up on top with the scripture reading. Let's just begin in verse 13. This is what our Lord Jesus says again on the upper room discourse that night before his crucifixion. As he was giving encouragement to his disciples, he was about to leave, and that, of course, would be very discouraging for them, realizing the hard things that would be ahead of them, to know that Jesus Christ wasn't going to be there. But yet Jesus tells them that one who was coming, who would be able to do this work for them much better than he could if he was physically present, and that is the Holy Spirit, who is able to dwell in the hearts of all believers and apply the promises of God to them for their strength and comfort. This is what Jesus says in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. May the Lord bless his word to our understanding this morning. Now, first of all, we've seen that the Spirit in the work of redemption is responsible to do two main things, and that is, he is the one who is responsible to quicken us to life. We come into this world spiritually dead. We are really unable to see the glory of God. The people who are still dead in trespasses and sins, the gospel seems like foolishness. But to those whom the Spirit is working in their hearts, it is the power of God unto salvation. The second thing that he does, and for our purposes this morning, and what we've been seeing as far as how we have communion with the Holy Spirit, he is the one who is responsible to distribute to us the blessings that our Lord Jesus Christ bought for us through his life and his death. That includes himself. He's the one who comes into our souls and unites himself to us as a principle of life. That's what makes us spiritually alive. He is the one who prepares us for heaven by making us more like Jesus. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us. He is the one who gives to us spiritual gifts. He is the one who is able to not only give us something, some way to serve one another, but he is also the one who allows us to do this by his grace, which means that we are able to do it in his power, to do it in a way that's effective. And he is also the one who comforts us by taking the promises of Christ and applies them to our hearts. And we saw something last week of how he comforts us. Jesus told us in John 14:26 that he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you, which means that he would remind the apostles of what it is he said so that they would be able to teach and to preach and to write down his word to form the doctrinal foundation of the church. But he would also remind all believers of what Jesus Christ said, so that he might comfort us, so that he might strengthen us, so that he might make those promises of Christ real to us. And we saw that he would do this in two ways. He would do it powerfully, so it wouldn't just be a thought. I remember what Jesus Christ said, and then I try to draw strength out of that, but I'm unable to. But rather, he takes that promise and he drives it into our hearts, and he applies it in such a powerful way that we see its reality. We know that it's true, and we draw real comfort from it. And he does it sovereignly. This is something the Spirit of God does when and where he wills. Sometimes in the midst of the worst situations, we can have tremendous peace. And the Spirit of God is applying those promises to us for our comfort. Other times when things really aren't going that bad, we don't feel as much at peace because he's not giving us that much help. The Spirit of God does this when and where he wills. This is one of the ways in which we share in what Jesus Christ has done through the Holy Spirit. It's one of the ways we have communion with Him. Now this morning we're going to look at His next main work, which is to glorify Christ. This will tell us a great deal about what is the Spirit's work and what it is not. When the Spirit of God works, He brings things to our minds. He applies them to our hearts. And He does that in such a way that He draws our attention to Jesus Christ and not to Himself or to any man. Now remember that the Father's purpose in the work in which He's done through Jesus Christ, in all of His work, is to do just that, to glorify His Son. This is the particular work of the Spirit. This is His ministry. This is what He does in our lives. He draws our attention to Jesus so that Jesus might be glorified for everything that that He does within us. Now let's consider two things this morning. First of all, that it is the Spirit's work to glorify Jesus Christ. And secondly, let's consider how it is that He does this. So first, let's see it is the Spirit's work to glorify Christ. Now again, we're talking here about the Spirit's work in the role, or His role in the work of redemption. The Bible says the Father's role in redemption is He's the one who loves us. He's the one who chooses us. He's the one who sends His Son for us. He is the one who rewards the Son, who gives the Son all the blessings which He earns through His life and His death. Now the Son, as far as His role, is He is sent. He's sent to take upon Himself our nature, to become one with us. He was sent to obey in our place, to do everything that the Father requires that we were unable to do. He was sent to die on the cross for those who would trust in Him to discharge their debt so that they wouldn't be guilty and they wouldn't have to pay the price for their sins. And of course, He also rose from the dead after He died on the cross, and He ascended into heaven and He received those blessings. And now He prays for us before the Father on our behalf so that those blessings which He has earned might be distributed to each one of us. Now, the Spirit's work, again, is to take what Jesus Christ has done and to give that to us, to apply those things to us, to basically be the answer to Christ's intercession before the Father on our behalf as He prays to the Father that we might have certain blessings. The Spirit of God takes those things and He actually applies them to us. He's the one who quickens us. He is the one who distributes these blessings. Now, I say that so you will know what the Spirit's work is, but I also say that just so you'll understand that when the Spirit of God takes this subordinate role, when He becomes a servant to the Father and the Son to distribute these blessings, that doesn't mean that He is any less God than the Father and the Son. The Son is no less God because He becomes a man and He becomes a servant to us, actually to purchase our salvation and to die on the cross for us. In the same way, neither is the Spirit any less because He takes the role of taking these blessings and applying them to us. He is still fully God, and He is worthy of all our praise and honor and glory. But the point I want to make in this is this, that in this work that the Holy Spirit does, that He does it in such a way that He pushes Jesus Christ to the forefront. Jesus says, "He shall glorify Me." He doesn't glorify Himself. He doesn't glorify any person, any mere man, but He glorifies the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what this means, again, is that He will not draw attention to Himself. He will not draw attention to His own work unnecessarily or to anyone or anything else. Jesus says, "He shall glorify Me." Now, the reason why I stress that point is simply this, because there is so much today going on in churches among the people of those churches, especially the leaders, under the guise of being spiritual or being of the Spirit of God. So many believe themselves to be spiritual, to be filled and moved by the Spirit of God. There are so many self-proclaimed prophets and teachers and so-called faith healers. But now, how can we know whether what they are doing is of the Lord or not? See, here's the way we sort of cut to the chase. We don't have to analyze what every single person is doing to find out whether this is of the Lord or not. All we need to know is this simple principle. Do they glorify Jesus Christ or do they not? What is the focus of their ministry? See, that's going to exclude a great number of them as being of the Spirit of God or actually giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't do that. You'll find that most people who are involved in these things don't put Christ at the center at all. What they often do is they focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. They seem to think that Christ did everything that he did in order to purchase these blessings so that we could take these blessings and lift those things up and focus on those rather than on Jesus Christ, who is the one who actually gives us these blessings. In other words, they turn the work of the Holy Spirit around and they focus on the Spirit rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, even worse, they focus on themselves. I have the gifts, I have the abilities, and so forth. And so they want honor for themselves rather than for Christ. But you see, when they do this, when they glorify themselves, they show they're not doing these things by the Spirit of Christ because he was sent to glorify Christ. He wasn't sent to glorify himself. And he wasn't sent to glorify any mere man, but rather the God-man, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider what we read this morning in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, because I believe this gives to us a key on how we are to view what these people are doing. John wrote this by the Holy Spirit, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." And by the way, he didn't mean there were a lot of disembodied spirits going around speaking, right? If a spirit comes to you, don't believe him if he says this. What he means is the teachers, the prophets, the preachers, those who claim to be speaking in the name of Christ, what are they saying? Is that the Spirit of God or is that another spirit? Well, this is what he says again. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God." How is that? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Now, you already heard when Greg was leading worship basically what this means. In John's day, there were those who taught that Jesus Christ never became a man. He never actually took to himself humanity, never became flesh, because they believed that everything that is material is evil, only that which is spiritual is good. And if Jesus Christ is good, he could not have become a man because then he would become evil. So he only appeared to be a man. He was basically a phantom walking around that looked solid. He looked like a man, but he didn't actually become a man. Now that, as you know, is a very serious error, because the Bible says Jesus had to become a man in order to work out our salvation. He had to be able to become one with us so he could take our place, so he could obey for us, so he could die in our place. He had to do what he did, make the payment that he did for the human race, on behalf of the human race, as a man. Now, that's something that they were denying. They were preaching a false Christ. Now, what was John's conclusion? By the way, that dishonored Christ. I hope you can see that did not glorify Christ, but rather basically pulled the plug on his work, nullified his work, made it of none effect. If he had been a phantom, he couldn't save us. John's conclusion regarding them was this, that they didn't have the Spirit of God. They had the spirit of Antichrist. And I believe from this we can draw this principle that the sign of a false prophet, one who speaks by a false spirit and not by the Spirit of God, is one who teaches a false Christ, one who distorts the truth of God, one who dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Spirit would not do this. Would the Spirit motivate any teaching that doesn't honor Jesus Christ? Would he be behind anything that detracts from the truth of Christ? No. And so when somebody says something like that, he's not saying it by the Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't always mean he's saying it by the spirit of the Antichrist, not necessarily motivated by Satan, but he certainly is motivated by something sinful, and that would be his flesh, if not this serious, as serious as having the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, what does this say today about those who detract from Christ's person and his work in other ways? What about those who claim gifts of the Spirit in order to glorify themselves? What about those who seek to glorify themselves by their so-called ability to speak from God, these so-called prophets? What about those who seek to glorify themselves by their so-called ability to heal? As Oral Roberts once said, these hands, not these, of course, but his, these hands have healed so many people. Has Oral Roberts healed anyone? Who is Oral Roberts glorifying by saying that? Or what about money, when they focus on money rather than Christ, or when they focus on the charismatic gifts of speaking in tongues or prophecy or healing or word of knowledge, or in the exercise of these gifts seeking to draw attention to themselves or attention to the Spirit rather than to Christ? That's not the work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will glorify Jesus Christ. He doesn't come to glorify himself. He doesn't come to glorify any man. And when he gives gifts, when he actually gives gifts, and those gifts are being exercised according to his will, it doesn't draw attention to the one using the gift. It draws attention to Jesus Christ. That's how we can know that it is the Spirit of God who is at work. Now, if we get a little bit closer to home, what does it say about us when we do things, again, seeking to be spiritual, but all we're attempting to do is to draw attention to ourselves, or we do things in a way that draws attention to ourselves and not to Christ? Again, when that happens, we can know that it's not the Spirit of God that's moving us to do that. It's rather our flesh that's causing that. We can know that the Spirit of God is at work within us when what we do and what we say draws attention to Jesus Christ, to his person, to his work, to his word, to his will, to his kingdom. Jesus said, he will glorify me. When we glorify Jesus Christ, we are speaking and acting spiritually or by the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is his work, to draw attention to Jesus. Now, secondly, let's consider how he glorifies Jesus Christ. Jesus says this in verse 15. Verse 15. Verse 14. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. Now, this is the way the Spirit of God works. Now, first of all, we need to understand, what does he mean? He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Well, we're told in verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. What Jesus is referring to here is the grace that the Father has chosen to give us and that Jesus Christ has provided for us. It's talking about the things that the Father has chosen to give to us in his eternal love. All things that the Father has are mine. And the things that Jesus Christ has purchased for us, which is why he says, it's of mine, or they are my things. What he earned through his obedience in his death. What he received from his Father after he was raised from the dead. The things that the Father placed into his hands, and the things that the Spirit of God distributes. Again, you see how this all works together, as we've seen in the past. Jesus is the one who does the work. He receives the reward. Jesus puts that reward in the hands of the Spirit. The Spirit of God distributes that to us. But it all comes through Jesus Christ, so he receives all the glory. These are the things the Spirit of God, he says, would take and he would reveal to us for our good. All these blessings. Well, what are these blessings? What are the things that Jesus has purchased for us? God's mercy. The fact that he won't give us what we deserve, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. We don't deserve heaven. Every sin that we commit, even the slightest sin, deserves hell. We don't get heaven for that. And there's no way, of course, we could ever make up for that. That's why we need mercy. We need Jesus Christ to bring these things down to us. So he gives to us Christ's mercy. He gives to us his grace. And grace, of course, is receiving things we don't deserve. We don't get what we deserve, which is hell. But we get what we don't deserve, which is heaven. We don't deserve that. What else does he give to us? He gives to us forgiveness of sins. All the guilt is taken away. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we are perfectly acceptable in the eyes of God. We've done everything right. And of course, God then accepts us in Jesus Christ, and he adopts us into his family, and he actually makes us the heirs of heaven, of eternal life. We have a relationship with God that will last forever. So these are the things that he reveals to us. These are the things that he distributes to us sovereignly in a powerful way to establish us and to comfort us, as we saw last week. The things that Jesus has earned for us, the promises that he applies, he takes those promises and he applies them in an effectual way, so it brings real comfort at a time when we really need it. But remember again that when he does this, he does it in a way that draws our attention to Christ, so that we will see what a great Savior he is, what a great Redeemer he is, so that he might be glorified. Whenever we see a biblical truth, whenever we see a particular promise in the Scriptures in this particular way, that it comes from Christ and endears our hearts to Christ so that we want to give glory to Christ, we can know that that's the Spirit of God applying that promise to our hearts. That's his work of comforting us and establishing us in Jesus Christ. And again, that's why the Apostle Paul tells us in our meditation, no one can say Jesus is accursed by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God would never do that. He has come to glorify Jesus. But no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and know this to be true from the heart. It isn't just a matter of knowing it and saying, well, I can say Jesus is Lord. Okay, if I said it, that means the Spirit of God's working in me. No, that's what it's talking about, is this work of the Holy Spirit when he applies it powerfully, sovereignly to your heart, so that you look at the Scriptures and you read about Christ as Lord. You know for a fact that he is. He is your Lord. Okay, and you know he is real. You know he exists. You know that he has saved you. You know that it's more than just an idea. It is a truth. Only the Spirit of God can do this. That is his particular work, to not only show us the reality of Jesus Christ, but his glory, and to convince us of his office as Lord, and of course our need for him as Savior. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So in closing, let me ask you this question. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that Jesus Christ is Lord? Is he your Lord? And is he your Savior? And do you know this with certainty? Do you know that this isn't just fiction? This isn't just a legend? This isn't just the belief of a lot of radicals who believe that, you know, in the past that wrote this book, and it's just perhaps a legend, something they made up? But do you know that he is real? Do you believe that he is real? And have you submitted to him? Have you trusted in him as your Savior? Have you submitted to him as your Lord? And does your life show that you have? Not just because you're saying it. Hey, I believe Jesus is Lord, and I go to church, and you know, every week I'm here, but during the week I just basically live for myself. I do what I want to do, and I pursue the things of the world. I just have fun. Doesn't matter to me whether I'm really serving the Lord or not. I'm doing what I want to do. Does your life show that Jesus is your Lord by your obedience to him? Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Children, this same question applies to you. Do you believe yourselves to be Christians, to be believers? If you do, are you doing what Jesus Christ tells you to do? Well, if not, the only solution is to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him, to change your heart, to look to him to forgive you of your sins, to trust in him in order to save you. It's only those who turn from their sins, who repent and believe in Jesus Christ, that will ever see heaven. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the only way. And unless you see him as the only way and trust in him as your only way to God and turn away from your sins, you will not see heaven, but you will see hell. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is able and willing to receive all who will come to the Father through him. Now, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you have the settled confidence that he is, because you are able to say from the heart that Jesus is Lord, and if your confidence is further grounded in the fact that you are trusting Jesus Christ, turning from your sins, and living that life of obedience, then you can know the Spirit of God is at work within your hearts, because you could not do that apart from the Spirit of God. That is his work, and that is our communion with the Spirit of God. If he has convinced you that Jesus Christ is Lord, if he has shown you the glory of Christ and he has glorified Jesus Christ in your sight so that you have turned from your sins and you're trusting in him and doing what is right, then you can know the Spirit of God is working savingly in your heart. And for that, you should thank him and praise him. That is the only way of salvation. The Spirit of God has to work. Jesus says, unless we are born from above, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And apart from it, no one of us will be saved. We need that work. Well, let's bow for a moment of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to take what we've heard and apply it to our hearts as we need to hear it. Nobody knows what's going on in your heart. Nobody knows what's going on in my heart except the Lord. He can see what's going on in our hearts, which is why we need to ask him to show us what is going on so that we might do what it is we need to do. Let's spend a few moments in prayer.